Romans chapter 8. We sang in one of our hymns this morning, "Let sorrow do its work, sin, grief, and pain. Sweet are thy messengers," sweet their refrain, "when they can sing." There's the key to that verse. "When they can sing with me. More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. When they can sing with me." Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask now the blessing upon the reading of Thy Word. I pray that our praise and our prayers have been pleasing and acceptable in Thy sight, not on any merit of our own, but solely upon the merits of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
My Father, we all in this room this morning, more than likely, are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. And Father, I pray that You'd help us to see a little bit deeper, a little bit farther into its truths. That, Lord, You might reveal unto us, Lord, a pearl of great price that we have yet to see and to know. Father, may You be honored and glorified in all things that we say and do. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord, again this last week, had providentially led me to this passage of Scripture when speaking to someone on the job, which I know not if they be a believer or not, but I gave every effort to explain to them this passage of Scripture, and in some sense the verses or the words of our Lord kept coming back to my mind when He quoted the Old Testament prophet and said, "Seeing ye see, but ye perceive not, and hearing ye hear, and ye understand not." It's hard to attempt to explain the promises of God to someone that knows not God. And yet we pray that God give us the grace that we'd be able to continue preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this verse 28 of Romans chapter 8 is truly a pearl of great price, which has enriched countless souls since its first recording many years ago. Since my youthful days as a new believer, when I was first introduced to this passage of Scripture, I have over the years often resorted to its divine truths in hopes of obtaining some sense, some understanding and comfort concerning the many fiery trials and afflictions which God had providentially wrought upon my life as a believer. The confusion which often arose within my heart and mind as to how all things could possibly work together for good, especially in those most difficult and trying of times, was often overwhelming. We read Romans chapter 8, verse 28, most of the time when we're in need of some kind of understanding or sense of the things going on in our life that we cannot comprehend. How could things that are uncomfortable and tormenting to the flesh, how could such things ever work together for good? And though I was very much aware of this verse of Scripture, in my haste to find an immediate answer as to how such afflictions could ever work together for my good. I believe the answer, like so many Christians, the answer was to be found in some yet undiscovered truth of God. I have yet to learn something about God. I have yet a truth to find. And so I diligently, which is not incorrect of itself, search scriptures in hope of finding an answer to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Yet like in most cases concerning God's Word, the answer and comforts are not found in some yet undiscovered truth of God, but in those divine truths we already know. And that happens most of the time. When we're confused about something concerning God or our Christian life, we usually think it's because it's some hidden, unknown truth of God that I have yet to learn, and so therefore we search diligently to find something new. When in reality, all we need to do is search those truths we already know. That pearl of great price hidden in what God has already revealed unto us. We need only to light a candle, as our Lord said in the parable of the woman and the pearl. We need only to light a candle and sweep the house till we find it. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 answers itself.
Sure.
If we read it in the context of which Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, wrote it. The prophet Isaiah says, with joy we must learn to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Not by digging new wells, but by drawing from those wells of salvation already provided in Christ. Christians, many times, are in such a haste to find an answer to their problems, they don't even realize the answer is right before them. It's in not what we don't know, it's what we do know, but we don't understand. The blessed man of Psalms 1, who shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and who shall prosper in whatsoever he doeth, is not the man constantly searching for new truths, but he who meditates day and night on those divine truths which he already knows, and the psalmist said, delights in.
Amen.
You see, that's the difference. We're always on the search for something new, when we haven't even learned what God has showed us already. What is truth? Pilate asked Christ when truth was sitting right in front of him. Learn, dearly beloved, when you find yourselves confused or amazed or astounded by something in your life, be it in your Christian life or in regards to God or your present trials and afflictions, do not go search for something yet unlearned and hidden. Search those things you know. Dig those wells of Jacob anew, like Abraham did. You need not new ones. You need just simply to learn those you've already known. Look with me then, if you would, this morning on this very familiar passage of Scripture, and may God be pleased to show us a few pearls of great price which has possibly been hidden from our eyes because we haven't swept enough. We haven't lit the candle. May God give us grace this morning to do that. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Stay with me. To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then? Now, again, I'm reading these words in the context of Romans 8:28. Keep Romans 8:28 in your mind. Okay? Keep it in your mind. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We know that all things work together for good. Keep that in the mind. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:28, to them that love God. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, with all those verses in mind, and that's why we read all these verses, many make the mistake of isolating Romans 8:28 from all the following verses. You can't do that. If you just isolate Romans chapter 8 verse 28, you're going to continue to be confused. If we're ever to understand and enjoy the full comforts which verse 28 offers every true believer, we must interpret it in the light of its entire context. My problem as a young believer is I just isolated Romans 8:28 and didn't read the rest of the chapter. All things work together to good to them that love God. Why? Because those who he did foreknow, he did predestinate. He conformed to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and he called, them he justified, and then he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things of God before us? Who can be against us? Who can condemn us? What he says later on. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And then he goes through all the perils of life. He said, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? This is what Romans 8:28 is built upon. This is how we come to understand and to know that all things work together to good to them that love God. Because God foreknew us to be predestinated. Predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Son. He justified us. He glorified us. He keepeth us. Amen. He preserves us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he goes through tribulations, distresses, persecutions. You see, the following verses interpret the verse 28. Our problem is we don't go any further than verse 28. But now watch what he does here. I want to show you something this morning. Hopefully God will give us all a pearl of great price we have not yet seen in this wonderful verse. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to purpose. Now, here's the most amazing and profound truth, especially in light of the previous verses. We've studied and preached on those a few weeks ago. Because in verses 26 and 27, as we learned a few weeks ago, Paul would declare that we know not what to pray for as we ought. We don't know what to pray for. As we yet here in verse 28, regarding the working of all things together for good, Paul says, we know. Isn't that amazing? We know not what to pray for as we ought, but when it comes to all things working together for good, Paul says, we know. Isn't that amazing Amen. When you think about it?
Amen.
I mean, it shows the wonderful mystery behind prayer, but it proves that the Christian knows things that goes beyond all reason, because he says we might not know what to pray for as we not, but when it comes to God sovereignly and providentially working all things together for our good, Paul said you should know that it works to your good.
Isn't
that amazing?
Yes.
This whole passage of Scripture has to do with our relationship with God. In the beginning verses in chapter 8, he talks about the Spirit of God beareth witness with our spirit, and we call him Abba Father. It's an intimate relationship with God through Christ Jesus. Paul says we might not know what to pray for as we ought, but we know that God sovereignly and providentially works all things together for good. It's an amazing thing if you think about it. When God sovereignly and providentially works all things together for our good, the believer says, we know this to be true. Yet notice, Paul doesn't describe or explain the how God works all things together for good. Listen to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according. He doesn't tell us how he does that. And yet he still tells us we know they work together for good. Had a man come up to me this week and having severe trials in his life. I doubt his profession of faith because it doctrinally is unsound. He has some kind of understanding of religion, but it's not true Christianity. And he said, how can all these things befall me? I don't have any idea how they can. I mean, it just seems like when it rains, it pours. Everything seems to be crumbling down around it. And it drove home even more of what Paul is trying to explain to true Christians in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Paul doesn't tell us how God is going to do that. He just tells us that we know. We always want to know the how. Lord, how can this affliction work for my good? It seems to be obvious that it's painful and it's not comfortable and it's not pleasant. How could this possibly, Paul doesn't say or describe how God does that. He simply says, we know it does. That's faith. Which a lost man can't comprehend because he has no faith. Most believers struggle with this divine truth because they want to know the how. We want to believe. We want to know that all things work together for good. But how? We want to believe that. We want to know that. But how? Why in this manner? Why this affliction? How come this cross? How come this persecution? How can this possibly work together for good? Paul doesn't describe or explain the how. But he does explain the why. We just stopped in verse 28. Let's read this again, just beginning of it. I'm not going to read all the verses again, but listen to it now in the light of what I just said. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for, here's the why, not the how, for whom He did foreknow. Foreknow is not simply a mere intellectual understanding that He knew us before. It's an intimate word. He intimately knew us. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, whom He foreknew lovingly, compassionately, before time existed, whom He did foreknow, He also did what? Predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Predestinate for what? Paul says to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see how he's beginning to describe the why of verse 28? This is why we know all things work together for good, because whatever God's doing, because He foreknew us before time and eternity, He predestinated us to be conformed in the image of His Son. So what He is working all things together for the good is conforming us into the image of His Son. There's the why. How He does that is up to Him. We just need to know why. He's conforming us
to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now watch how he seals this in heaven. Remember I said a few weeks ago, our problem is we're too earthly minded. We look at everything in this present life for the present. No, God would set our hearts and minds on the things above, on the things of heaven, on things of eternity. He does that. We know that all things in this present life work together for the good. Why? Because God is doing an eternal work in you that will be finished in eternity. For those, listen to this, Moreover, whom he did predestinate, then he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. It's not present, it's not past or future, it's present. Listen to these words. He also called, justified, glorified. In God's purpose, Romans chapter 8, according to his purpose, these things are already done. They're complete. Then Paul asked the question, what shall we then say to these things that I've just told you? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Do you see what Paul's doing? Paul's building the truth of verse 28 upon all the following verses. He said, this is how come we know all things work. He doesn't just say, you know that, and then walks away. He says, you know that's because God is doing an eternal work inside of every true believer according to his purpose. According to his purpose. Not mine. According to his purpose. Then he takes the question further when he says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? Nobody can lay anything to charge of God's elect. Who is he to condemn us? Nobody can condemn us. And he takes it even further. Now, he said, now let me get this clear. Let me set this straight for you. Romans 28. Let me set this straight. Who shall separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? And he gives the whole list of everything that Romans chapter 8 verse 28 might be talking about. Persecutions, afflictions, trials. He said, nothing can. You see, in God's eternal purpose for his elect, in God's eternal purpose in predestinating you to be conformed to the image of his Son, nobody can bring any charge against you. Nobody can condemn you. Nobody can say anything against you. And nobody can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And he goes through that whole list in the latter chapter of chapter 8. For what? For Romans chapter 8 verse 28. You see now when you look at Romans 8 28, now you begin to understand how Paul could say, for we know. We know. Nothing shall hinder, nor harm, nor separate the true believer in God's working all things together for good. That's what he's basically saying. Nothing. All these following verses, dearly beloved, shed light on what Paul is declaring in verse 28. And they are the believer's assurance of knowing that all things work together for good. So don't isolate Romans 8:28 without reading the context. Because if you do, you'll miss out on what Paul is trying to say. How sweet their refrain, when they can sing with me. When they can sing with me. Beloved, nothing has been more confusing to believers down through the centuries than the afflictions of the believer. The afflictions of Job. Why does, we all know the verse in Psalms, David struggled with. Why do the wicked prosper? And it seems like I've washed my hands in vain. And we look at all these things and it bothers us sometimes. Sometimes when God providentially, sovereignly puts us in a position in life to where we're suffering severely, we want to raise our hands and say, but God, why? Why this? How come? Paul will take us to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and say, okay, start here. And when you start there, ground your faith in Romans 8:28 and then read verses 29 down through 39 and you'll understand how you can come to know that all things work together for good.
And yet all things working together for good is not implied or promised to all men. Now watch this. I want to show you something partially of this morning, and I hope and pray that will enhance your love for Christ and for this wonderful verse. And we know that all things work together for good. Watch this. To them that love God. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
To them that love God. Now when you first look at this, you might be a little confused. Some might think these words of Paul would be strange, or are strange. Shouldn't it be written to them whom God loves? For we know that all things work together for good to them that God loves. Wouldn't that make more sense? I mean, God's the one working these things all together for good. Shouldn't Paul have said, all these things work together for good to them whom God loves? Why does Paul say, to them who love God? Quite a few years and I never give much thought to that. You know, there's a lot of talk of God loving us, and as there should be. For we love Him because He first, 1 John said, loved us. There's a lot of talk about God loving us, but Paul declares that it's those who love God. He declares it's those who love God who know all things work together for good. Think about that for a minute. All those who love God know that all things work together for good. Let me ask you this question, and we'll continue on for a few more minutes. Do you love God? I didn't say, do you profess to know or profess to love God? Do you love God? We put a lot of emphasis on God loving us. It's easy for someone to say, oh, God loves me. But do you know, do you realize God's love for us is evident in how much we love Him? That's why when people say, oh, I love God. Or God loves me, I'm sorry. They say, oh, no, God loves me anyway. They go to church, they don't read the Bible, they don't pray, they don't live a righteous, holy life, they don't try to please God, they don't try to live for Christ's honor and glory. Well, that's not very good love, is it? To say you love your spouse and then you go out and commit adultery multiple times a month, it's not love, is it? Paul says, those who love God know that all things work together. Not those whom God loves, but those who love God. It's exclusive. Remember when Peter fell? Denied the Lord three times. You think, I mean, if I was in that position, you'd think that the Lord would come up and say, Peter, I want you to be assured that I still love you. He didn't say that. Mm-hmm. They're sitting along that fire and they're just talking away. It's the third time Peter has met Christ since he denied Him. Christ does not mention a word about it until this third time. And he's cooking that fish away and all the disciples are sitting around and the Lord speaks up and He says, Peter, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? You'd think that should be the other way around. Don't you think Christ should assure Peter that Christ still loves him? That's what Christ said. Christ said, Peter, do you love me? We don't put enough emphasis on our love to God. We really don't. Why not? You know, it's a wonderful thing to be loved. But do you know it's also a wonderful thing to love? Are you following me?
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing to be loved, but it's also a wonderful thing to love. You know, my heart goes out to all those this morning who hear this message, even here and maybe even on the internet, and even the individuals I talked to this week, because they know nothing of loving God. And that's a sad thing. You can sit there all day long and say God loves you, and you're hoping and praying and struggling in your heart that might be true, and that one day, you know, when you die,
that it's true, that God loves you. No, if you don't love God now, if you don't love God now, Christ said, let him be Maranatha, Athanatha. To that point. Stumble over that, my tongue. But let him be accursed. If any man love not Christ. You see, you're cursed if you don't love God. It's a wonderful thing to be loved. It's just as wonderful to love. So Paul says, those who love God know that all things work together for good. Why? They trust him. They read the rest of the verses. God before me, who can be against me? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can condemn me? Who can separate me from the love of God, which is, I love Christ so much. I love him so dearly. It doesn't matter how he works things together for my good. I love him so dearly and so supremely. It doesn't matter. Because I know that whatever he's got planned for me, it's going to be for his glory and for my good. I find no room in my heart to complain. I find simply love for Christ. It wasn't an assurance of Christ's love for Peter that would restore the now broken Peter. For Christ's love is secure in him. But it was an assurance of Peter's love for Christ that must restore Peter. And isn't that amazing? When the Lord asked Peter that same question, lovest thou me? Peter doesn't hesitate. You know, you think Peter, after denying him three times and going out and weeping bitterly, you'd think that Peter had said, well, Lord, I hope I do. Maybe my love's not severe enough. Maybe my love's not good enough. Maybe I don't love. He didn't say that. He said, thou knowest I love you. You know. Isn't that amazing? Just as we are secure that Christ will always love us, dearly beloved, when once the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God, we love him back supremely as well. Lord, thou knowest. We love God, yes, because he first loved us. But the divine evidence of God loving us first is that we love him in return. You know, if many professing Christians' lives today were evidenced by their love for God, not their profession of God's love for them, many would fall short because their love appears to be very feigned, weak. What's the great commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That's a commandment. But it's also a commandment with great blessings. It's a promise. God would have nothing short than our entire heart, mind, and soul. You know that? Nothing short of that. That's why Paul says, those who love God know that all things work together for good. Because they love God. They love God. That old missionary, which I've quoted many times, McShane, never weary of quoting it, said, God has come down and stolen my heart and ran away to heaven with it. Many are quick to speak of God's loving them, and yet the struggle in their hearts and minds to find some kind of assurance of that. And when God, like I said, the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 5, sheds abroad in our hearts the love of God, our hearts in turn love God back. We know that all things work together for good, for we love God. Isn't that amazing? Mm. Simplicity of that. Mm. We know that all things work together for good, because we love God. That's why Paul says to them that love God, to them, exclusive, who are the called. I like that, the called. Peter calls it as well. He uses that same phrase, the called. Who are the called? You know, You see how we know all these things work together because of all these wonderful things that Paul is describing here, because we're called according to his purpose. And speaking to someone this last week about the same passage of scripture, and the individual kept trying to find some way of figuring it out on his own. He's even seen a psychiatrist, a counselor, humanistic, trying to tell him he's good enough and he can make it on his own and it's all up to him and he just needs to find it. And I said, you need to stop listening to that nonsense. I said, because in the eyes of God, you're not good enough.
No.
I said, you need to get your mind and your heart out of the gutter of the world, because it's not about you. There's nothing in you that's good.
No.
Nothing in you that's good. People's going, well, that's not a good way to counsel people. That's true. There's nothing in you good. You see, it's all about God. It's all about God.
Amen.
The Christian is concerned about only one thing, and that is the glory of his God. Because he knows when he seeks that, all things shall fall in place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Them that love God know that all things work together for good. And I love how our love to God is what leads this train. And what brings up the back part of it. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, verse 38 and 9, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord, none of these things. So if God is doing all those things, verses 29 to 39, and if all these things can never separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, and no one can condemn us, no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, no one can separate us, then we come back to Romans 8:28 and say, then I know that all things work together for good. I know. Because I love God. And because I've been called according to his purpose. Beloved, when you find yourselves struggling in any part of your Christian life, it doesn't matter if it's trying to find questions or trying to find answers, I mean, or whether you're struggling with your present position, your lot that God has given you. Believe me, 99% of the time, it's not because there's yet an unhidden, undiscovered truth of God that God's wanting you to find. And I'm saying, not saying you should not search Scripture. Search Scripture. But usually, 99% of the time, when it's a troubling and a trying situation, God's trying to bring something out of something he's already shown us. Mm. Not something he hasn't shown us yet. So light the candle. Sweep the room. Search for it diligently until you find it. Because it's there. Amen. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew. That's an amazing, amazing text there. For whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed in the image of his Son. All things then work together for good, and they will. May God give us grace to see that, believe it, live it, and experience it, and know the blessings of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you now, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, how it clears up any confusion that we have as believers. We thank you, Lord, that you do work all things together, both bad and good, for our good. We thank you, Lord, you allow us to love you as we do. We thank you, Lord, that you called us according to your purpose, that, Lord, you foreknew us before the foundations of the world, before we were even born in the very wombs of our mothers. Lord, you knew us by name. Lord, who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Help us, Lord God, we pray, to ever look heavenward, to set our affections on things above and on the things of the earth. Lord, may we seek to honor and glorify you in all things, trusting in you and knowing with a full heart of assurance, no matter what happens in this life, all things you will work together for our good. We ask these things now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.